speak to us through the word tonight. And I just ask God that you get all the glory and all the honor from our gathering. Bless the saints, Lord, that are still on the way. Thank you for those that have arrived, those that will join us online. We ask that you, Lord, would just minister to them as well. And we pray, God, that the Spirit of God would just have the preeminence in our time together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to turn in our Bible to Ephesians 6. I'll just read a few verses here as we get started here tonight. Ephesians 6, and starting here at verse 1. Praise the Lord. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With goodwill, doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. Amen. Praise the Lord. We'll stop our reading there, and we will just pick up a few key statements here before we go forward in our lesson tonight. Going here to slide 3 with the key statements here. Let's see here. All right, this first statement. One second, I'm having a technical problem here. So, 1 second. Divine love is one of the most powerful forces. It's one of the greatest forces in the world, and when divine love has been projected, comes to its end, then sovereign grace will take its place. And just give me 1 second here. All right. Okay. All right. Next statement says, do you realize, being a son or daughter of God, that you are a minor creator? Being a son or daughter of God, you are a minor creator. This next statement says, God's bringing forth a bunch of bones and putting skin on it, and the power of the Holy Ghost that'll bring the gospel in this last days with signs and wonders to the end of the world. They'll teach the Bible. They'll stand by it. They'll live by it. They'll not compromise right or left. And thank God for that group of people that will stay with the word. Next statement says, God is in his holy temple. Let everybody keep quiet. Amen. Amen. And when we were talking about that, that was just a wonderful reminder of how we conduct ourselves in the house of the Lord. Amen. Next statement says, that's the way God builds his church for his eaglets, high above the ambitions of this world. She's got a high ambition, not to please men, but to please God. Not to please men, but to please God. Another statement says, now there is an angel, but this angel, Lord, that are encamped round about those that fears him. See, now it isn't promised that sinners has angels. It's only the redeemed has angels. And again, taking us back to the scripture there in Psalm 34, where it talks about the angel Lord encamping around about those that fear him. And then Brother Branham took it even to a deeper level than just that he was even showing us how it is our, it's our own theophany that is doing that. So really powerful thoughts that the prophet brought to us to help us, you know, even get more clarity on that. I'm going back to where we were on last week, and this is slide 7. We read the scriptures here, and I gave a lot of reference scriptures to it, but verses 5 through 8, we're kind of combining here in Ephesians 6, and it says, "Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of heart, as unto Christ." We tried to, by the grace of God, to help us to see that this really pertains to our work life. And, you know, we have a boss, we are workers, and there's a certain way that we should conduct ourselves as Christians at work. And not only that, when we keep reading here, the Bible says, "Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart." When you're working, your work is as unto the Lord. As unto the Lord. And you want to be found faithful with what you're doing at work. And it's not with eye service, not trying to please somebody. You see workers that do that all the time. You see the boss come by and they all of a sudden, you know, doing something. And you know, that's just, that's not how we're supposed to conduct ourselves. The other thing is with goodwill, doing service as to the Lord, not to men. And then verse 8, this is for the boss. So we have the workers have a certain responsibility, but even the boss has a responsibility. Amen. So if you ever find yourself in the position of being the boss, then you have a conduct according to scripture that Paul has laid out for us to follow. Knowing that whatsoever good thing, it's verse 9 that's going to be that. "Knowing that whatsoever good thing that any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free." And verse 9 is, "Ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him." So the boss has to, you know, you treat that person, I guess it would be as if Christ was working for you. Would you talk to Jesus like that? Would you treat Jesus like that? Right? So you want to, I mean, this is a reciprocal relationship where this the worker or it's the boss, we have to have Christ in the midst of that. It's as everything we're doing is as unto the Lord. As unto the Lord. Now, on this particular slide, we got to this point last week, and then I just kind of closed it, but we're going to pick up a little bit more in this. Even in church, what we do has to be unto the Lord. My teaching has to be unto the Lord. My preaching has to be unto the Lord. Your faithfulness to church has to be unto the Lord. When God asks you for tithe and offering, that's as unto the Lord, right? And everything you do has got to be unto the Lord. When you sing in a special, it's as unto the Lord. When you're playing an instrument, it's as unto the Lord. Everything on the video equipment and, you know, projection, sound, all of that is as unto the Lord. Everything we do is as unto the Lord. When we volunteer, it's as unto the Lord, right? I mean, you just name it, everything is as unto the Lord. Here, the prophet makes a statement. It says, "Notice men has thought more of a meal ticket. People go around preaching, having these healing campaigns just to get money. They have the healing campaigns just to get money, and that's not pleasing with God, right? God will make a man answer for such as that. You're capitalizing on a gift. God will hold you responsible. If it isn't coming from your heart, men sometimes stand up and preach just to make gain." Oh, Lord Jesus. This is very, very important. They stand up and preach just to make gain. Well, as Paul said, I'm glad it's preached anyhow, but God will hold that person responsible for that. So if a person's approach to bringing the gospel is just to get a love offering, then they're going to miss it a million miles. God's going to hold them responsible. You know, as a minister, I realize every time I stand before the people, I am held responsible for what I say. I'm absolutely held responsible for everything that I say. And so we have to be very careful. We have to feed the flock of God and give them the word. That's what they eat. So make sure we give them the word. But I've seen people sometimes that's all they did it for is for the love offering. And that and when you do it for that, you've missed the boat one by million miles. A million miles. We want to hear what God got to say through you. That's what we want. Amen. 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 It's got to be unto the Lord. I want to just read a few quotes. The quotes that we'll read to kind of take us in the same channel that we just read there on the screen. Going to this sermon, The Unpardonable Sin. And here the prophet says, let me drop this in closing. Just in a minute, look now, when Jesus told them they had blasphemed the Holy Ghost, which is unpardonable sin. Look, Isaiah the prophet, all Jeremiah and all the prophets, they said, when the Messiah comes, this would be him. God, Jesus Christ was the word of God. Is that right? To reject him is to reject the word. Is that right? To reject him is to reject the word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And here was God's written Word made manifest here as God's Word on earth. His every word he spoke was the Bible. Every paragraph he thought was a written word. He was God's Word. And when the written Word had declared that he was the Word, when he came, manifested here on earth, and those people looked at the word and rejected it. Now he said, you get what I mean. Now when he say things like you get what I mean, what he's referring to here is there's a promise in scripture that is written about Jesus coming. The promise says a virgin shall conceive. And you know what Brother Branham tells us, says, you know, it was actually the phenomenal part or the phenomena is what caused the people not to believe. It was just too phenomenal for them. How can a virgin have a baby? Now you have to be careful. You know, we can judge them, you know, because we 2,000 years plus beyond that. But had you been living during that time, would you have been able to accept the fact that a virgin conceived? If you were living during that time. Now, I can tell you how you would have acted during that time, because how you act right now towards the word is how you would have acted then towards the word. Praise the Lord. There are things written in scripture that God said that he was going to do, not just for that time. When the written word becomes the manifested word, what's your reaction? So when Brother Adam say, you know what I mean, he's talking about, well, you get what I mean? Well, here's scriptures about his ministry written right there. And when it becomes manifested, now how are people responding to that? Praise the Lord. See, then we got to be careful. When that written word becomes a manifested word, we want to still be believing. Amen. Amen. He says this because they lost their prestige, because they had to give up their church. Anybody said, if you believe that kind of heresy, we'll just put you out of the church. Well, they couldn't believe him. They believed him in their heart, but they didn't want him. They couldn't afford to make a public confession of it. Because if they did, they got put out of the church, of their church. So they love the praises of men more than the praises of God. Now, you all remember the story in scripture of the man that was blind. And, You know, he was healed by Jesus. And after Jesus healed him, he just kind of moved off to the side, didn't say anything, and just, you know, just slipped off. And somehow the word got around to the leaders of that day that this man had been healed. And when they brought him before the religious leaders and like, you know, what's your testimony? That, you know, they said, well, you know, I've been healed, you know. And said, well, how do we know you was born blind? So they called his parents in. And they'll tell us, was he born blind? And say, yeah, he was. And is he your son? Yeah, he's my son. You know, and how did he get here? Well, look, you're going to have to hear his testimony. Now, the parents didn't really want to say how the boy got healed. They knew how he got healed, but they didn't want to say nothing because they was afraid they was going to get put out of their church. They love the praises of men over the praises of God. And that little fella, you know, he didn't even know who it was that healed him. But after he left their presence in some kind of way, he got to find out it was Jesus that did it. Well, he come right back before him again and start talking and say, yeah, it was Jesus that did it. Say, well, we don't believe in that Jesus. We don't this and we don't that. And they say, that's kind of funny. Y'all don't believe in it? And you say, y'all teach about it and y'all say this and y'all say that. And if y'all don't believe in it, and they say, well, who are you to tell us? You know, you're trying to converse. Well, all I'm trying to tell you is that I was blind, but now I see. And this is the man that did it. Whether y'all believe it or not, I believe in him because I'm the one seeing. My parents don't have to stand up for me. I can stand up for myself. I'm the one that was blind, but now I see. See, he didn't care about the praises of men. The parents was more concerned about the praises of men. But he wanted the praises of God. Here the prophet says they love the praises of men more than the praises of God. He said, well, our church don't teach it just that way, so we'll just, he says, look at them same old devils live today. Why, sure, they live today. Presbyterian, I'm sorry, it says, well, my mother was Catholic and my mother was Presbyterian. And I'll tell you, if it was good for mother and the rest of that, if it was good for mother, it's good for me. And, you know, I was kind of saying that on Sunday. We might have loved ones that might not ever come out and see this. They're walking in the light for their day. But when it's been revealed to you, you have to go further in a greater light. God has given you a greater light. God has given you more. And to whom much is given, then much is required. All right. So here he says, mother walked in what light she had. But the day has come when the gospel light is shining. Theology of Christian churches is dying. It's failed. God's taking you now to reveal himself again through his church, the resurrected body of the Lord Jesus Christ, resurrected out of churchianity, resurrected out of cold formal churches, resurrected out of fanaticism. God's bringing forth a bunch of bones and putting skin on it and the power of the Holy Ghost that'll bring the gospel in this last day with signs and wonders to the end of the world. They'll teach the Bible, they'll stand by it, they'll live by it, they'll not compromise right or left. That's right, they'll stand right on that word and move on, and God will be with them daily, confirming the word with signs and wonders following. Hallelujah. All you morning stars rise and shine. Hallelujah. He goes on to say this, and therefore, not knowing how, walked out without visions, before things, not knowing what to do. When I got a vision, I know what to do. But when he don't tell me, and I have to step right out there and challenge, and a challenge to the negative, right there, I think, Lord, I have not shunned, but declared the whole counsel of God. Everything in this Bible that you said do, I tried to follow it. Therefore, Lord, in my heart lays your word. You're obligated to watch over your word. If there's anything that I know that I should do and haven't done it, Lord, it's hid from me. I know I've tried to walk with you, and I know you've honored it and all, and I've told your people, though it hurts me sometimes. Think about that. Because when a minister's not out there for a love offering, he's going to say some things sometimes going to hurt some people. But his job is not to pick on the people. Amen. It's actually to pick off the people. Amen. That's his job. He said, I told the people, though it hurts me sometimes bad to tell people, but I've told them anyhow, for it's the word, and I never tell them to do it lest I do it myself. It walked up like that, then I walk a little closer and I think, Lord, see that power standing yonder, that demon ready to challenge you and giving you a dare to come to him. I said, Lord, it's not my word, it's yours I'm standing on now. Walking out there, taking my time, I get there. I think, oh, angel of God, let your presence come near. For you're his servant that was sent to protect me in these hours, and you promised me there, if I go, you'd be with me. So I walk right out there and say, then in the name of Jesus Christ, I tell the truth. Watch demons scream. Watch things take place because God is obligated to his word. Amen. He goes on and says, but if I know these things were true, like baptism and the baptism of the Holy Ghost and all these other operations and things, and know they was the truth, just because I wanted to be popular amongst and let somebody pat me on the back and say, Dr. Reverend or Bishop or whatever it is, you preached a good sermon, that's the praise of man. That pat on the back, and just because you didn't ruffle no feathers, that's the praise of man. That's what the prophet is actually saying. We don't preach for that. Oh God, we don't preach for that. I was telling you all last week how, let me finish reading this. It says, I'd rather them be snickering and laughing at me and making all kind of fun of me and know that I stood true to God. That's right, that's true. I don't want praises of men. I want the praises of God. I want to know that I've not shunned to declare the truth. Then if you reject it, that's up to you. See, that's right. I was telling you all last week how I went to church to preach, and man, it's just, I wanted to preach a certain sermon. And sometimes God allow you to preach a sermon at home, and man, it just blesses the church, and like, you know what, I want to preach that sermon when I go here. Well, that might not be what that church needs. So you can't just go and just preach that there, you know, because it won't have the same effect. That's not what they need. Every time I go out, I'm constantly looking for the mind of God. What do you want me to say to this church? I got a lot of sermons, but what is it that I need to say here? And finding the will of God for the moment, it is not an easy task. It's not an easy task, you know. Even when you're looking for a sermon for what you're even going to preach here, it's, you know, you gotta wait on the Lord. Amen. So I don't know, a lot of people think that it's like a water faucet. You just walk up to it, turn it on, and water come out, and you go about your business. No, sometimes you be waiting weeks, months. Amen. On the Lord to finish the sermon. I got so many thoughts in my I got a little app that I keep all my notes. I got so many little thoughts, but ain't been released to preach them yet. Just got to wait on the Lord. And this is we got to understand that it's not for you to get the praises of men. I remember one scripture. I don't think it's in the book of Ezekiel, but Ezekiel was told. He says, you know, when you come out and you speak to the people, it's like singing in their ears. You never say nothing that condemn nobody. It's like singing in their ears. Here at Spirit and Truth, there's going to be some times you're going to come and jump and shout. And there's going to be some other times you're going to have to pull your feet in. Praise the Lord. You ain't going to be ready to shout, right? But that's the way it's supposed to be when you go to church. This is the house of correction. So we you know, and we ought to thank God that he loves us enough to correct us. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, let's go on a little further here. In this sermon, Remembering the Lord, it says those priests of that day will have a lot to remember too. They're remembering it tonight in the world of the lost. You say, Brother Branham, would you call those priests holy priests, that they were godly men? Now, wait a minute. They made themselves godly. They had a false holiness, a false piety that wasn't really belonged of God. Jesus plainly told them, you are of your father the devil, and his works you'll do. And he told them what they were, and they have a lot to remember too, because when they seen that genuine manifestation of the Messiah, proving that he was Messiah, they deliberately turned it down and said it was a devil. I said it was an evil spirit doing that. Said it was Beelzebub. And Jesus pronounced that was blasphemy. Whosoever would speak a word against the Holy Spirit would never be forgiven. They got a lot to remember. Let's not take their place. Brethren, let our lot not be like theirs. It says, but I have to be, let me be like Nathanael, saying, thou art the Son of God, you are the King of Israel. You're the King of Israel. Let me stand as one of those. Let me stand. Let you women stand as the woman at the well. How she stands tonight. She's got a lot to remember, as we spoke of. She found a fountain. And now those priests, they'll have, why did they do it? Because of pure green jealousy. Lord have mercy. It's saying, you know, the reason that those priests rejected Jesus in their day, the reason that they rejected it, the spirit that was behind them rejecting it was jealousy. Jealousy. Now, spirits do not die. And oftentimes you find the same thing today, the reason that people are rejecting, you know, the word, sometimes just a little jealousy there. Amen. Why is this person, or why am I not? You know, you gotta always be careful. No matter what role you play in church, no matter what position you have in the body of Christ, don't ever think that you're the only one that can do it. Don't ever think that way. You might be the best musician there is, but don't think you're the only one that can do it. As soon as you get, you know, just a little spirit on you, a little pride, you know, you get a little puffed up, God will move you off the scene and let somebody just come and take your place. So don't ever, just got to watch pride, just jealousy and stuff like that. Don't let that rise up. Don't let that, I mean, you got to always remember where you come from. Amen. Oftentimes I like to just take trips down memory lane, you know, where we started. Where do we start? In our home, just me and my wife and three girls. And I was telling my wife the other day, and just the journey that the Lord has brought us on, I know where I come from, right? I know where I come from. And sometimes just keeping that before you keeps you humble. It keeps you humble, church. And, oh my. Let me say, it ain't easy starting a church. Anybody think it's easy, I want to invite you to try to do it. Do it and then get to a place where people actually believe in what you're doing. It's one thing when your wife believes in what you're doing, but it's a whole other thing when other folk believe in what you're doing. Right? I mean, it's not easy. You just don't run out there and do things just to be doing it. You really got to know that the scriptures say, except the Lord build a house, they that labor is laboring in vain. Amen. So you got to make sure that these things are of God. Be certain of God. All right. Amen. But people get into situations simply because of jealousy. People will leave church. Jealousy. It's jealousy. I mean, it's, and Brother Branham call it green eye. It's a green jealousy. That's why people leave. Well, you know, I see this brother being used and this sister being used, but what about me? Jealousy. Maybe it ain't your season yet. And all you got to do is wait for your season. I mean, the scripture says very clearly, very plainly, a man's gift will make room for itself. All you got to do until your gift make room for itself, what you got to do is be faithful. Yes. Because people recognize faithfulness, and God recognizes it too. But until you got to wait till your time come. Well, I'm just, ain't nobody moving fast enough. See, jealousy. Jealousy. Look at this. These priests, why did they do that? Because of pure green jealousy. That's the only way. They were zealous of their creed. They were zealous of their traditions. Their elders had set up a tradition which was contrary to the word, and they were zealous of that tradition. Brethren, lest you and I not have to answer for that, zealous of any tradition, let's remember Jesus, what he was, stay with what he said. By just pure green jealousy, they did these things. Oh, what a thing. Yes, sir. All right. He says, the rich man has got a lot to remember, too. He was presented with the opportunity to receive Jesus Christ, but he loved the praises of men more than the praises of God. And remember, the Bible plainly says that he remembered it after he was dead and in hell, and the message come back to him, remember, in your lifetime, you had the opportunity. Phoenix, you've got the opportunity. The world has got the opportunity. Don't let it cross your path and you fail to see it like Herod and many of them did. Amen. God has given us this revelation, the pure, unadulterated word. Don't miss your opportunity to receive it all. And like I said, when the written word becomes manifested word, don't miss it. Amen. Don't miss it. Here another statement that he makes in the message, hear ye him. It says, notice man has thought more of a meal ticket. People go around preaching, having these healing campaigns just to get money. That's not pleasing with God. God will make a man answer for such as that. You're capitalizing on a gift. God will hold you responsible. If it isn't coming from your heart, men sometimes stand up and preach just to make gain. They say, well, as Paul said, I'm glad it's preached anyhow, but God will hold that person responsible. And pastor, he's going to hold you responsible for the way you let your people do and act in your church. Certainly it is, you're going to be responsible for it. And Christian, you're going to be responsible for God after you've accepted Christ as your Savior for your life. God is going to hold you accountable. You can see just even from that statement, God holds us accountable, holds me accountable for even what happens in the church. This is why I always say you got to be living a life if you're going to be doing anything in the church. You got to be living a life. Amen. You can't just live any kind of way and then want to hold a position in the church. That ain't going to work. That ain't going to work at all. And I know I've had to make some really tough calls, some tough decisions, over the years. But you know what? I got to stay with this word. Amen. I got to stay with it. The word got to be first. And sometimes God allows things to come up to see which way you're going to go. Amen. 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 We have to toe the line just right. And not just me. I thank God. Give us help in the ministry, deacons, just to help toe that line. Keep it. Keep the church order. Keep the church clean so that we don't have any problems. We want to see the Spirit of God have preeminence in this place. And we got to keep the sin out. Amen. All right. Here he goes on in this message, as the eagle stirreth. As the eagle stirs her nest and fluttereth over her young, says there's something in you that calls out. There's something in you that longs for God. You try to satisfy that thirst that's in you, as David said, as a heart thirsts after the water brook, so my soul thirsts after thee, O God. And you try to satisfy that blessed, holy thirst that God put in you to thirst after Him, and you try to satisfy it with the things of this world. The devil is trying to make you quench that thirst by serving him, by serving the devil. When you're an eagle, you was born to be an eagle, and you have no right. You have no right to try to quench that thirst with the things of the world. God gave you that holy thirst after him. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Now he says, now let's take notice. Let's take notice of the eagle. The reason she doesn't build her nest on the ground is because that she's a heavenly bird. She takes care of her young. She don't want them in danger. So she builds her nest just as high as she can go. Now, I like what he's saying here about the eagle. Look at the characteristics of the eagle. The eagle builds her nest high. Not on the ground with everybody else. She's a heavenly bird, and she doesn't want her eaglets in danger. And you know, sometimes we get criticized for being parents that want to homeschool our kids. Well, we're somewhat like the eagle. We build our nests in a different area because we don't want our kids in danger. Praise the Lord. That's why we do some of the things that's why we make some of the decisions that we make, because we don't want our kids in danger. Amen. And sometimes the danger is not necessarily somebody going to school with a gun. and all that. I mean, those things happen. We know people shooting up schools like that nowadays, but sometimes the danger is what they learning from the other kids. Not necessarily what they learning from the teachers, but what they learning from the other kids. Those lessons are lessons that you don't need your kids to get a hold of at such a young age.
Exactly.
Now, not that they not, at some point in time, they'll see it, but you want, when they do see it, you want them to be mature enough to be able to handle it. You want them to be grounded in the word enough to be able to handle it.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
But an eagle builds her nest high in order to help the children avoid danger. Sometimes it costs us to put our kids in homeschool. We have to pay more money. We already pay taxes for to come to a school like this. We already pay for that. It's free. But it costs to actually have to put your kids in homeschool.
Yes.
But we do that because we want to ensure that they are kept from danger. Amen. She don't want them in danger, so she builds a nest just as high as she can go. Last time I was going to Tacoma for a meeting, I passed through Yellowstone watching way up in the top of the canyon. I saw something up there, and it was right on the little short peak, and an eagle had built her nest. And I called my wife and my children and give them the binoculars, and I went down into the woods a piece from a little old bear. And I said, look up here. Look up here now at this. There is the eagle with her nest. What could get to her? Nothing. No serpent could crawl up that rock. No coyote could ever destroy that nest. He says, that's the way God builds his church for his eaglets, high above the ambitions of this world. She's got a high ambition, not to please men, but to please God. Oh, my. Because you get criticized sometimes for taking the road of homeschool. You get criticized. But I'm not saying that everybody has to do that, but I'm saying if the Lord is blessing you, you're able to do it, I think you'll enjoy the benefits. You'll enjoy the benefits. And here's the thing, you know, it's not to please men, but we're here to please God. And my objective, I want to put my kids in an environment. I want them to in an environment to give them the best chance to succeed at life. That's all my desire is. I want to give them the best chance to succeed at life. I mean, you know, kids, even elementary age, hooked on drugs and stuff like this. And I mean, and all you want to do is just send them out to school, and I mean, all kind of nonsense happening. Not just in school, even sometimes in pre-K stuff. You'd be surprised at what kids are learning in pre-K. Some little fella think that all the girls is his girlfriends in school. Little old fella. But he picks up this stuff from at home. Amen. What he's seeing in his own home life. That's what he picks up, and now he's bringing that there. Same thing with the little young girl. She done picked up something at home. Now she's bringing it there to the school.
That's right.
Amen. See, God builds his church. Sometimes you'll be criticized for things like that. Y'all church got a school, and how come this? Yeah, we're building it high so that our kids won't be in danger. That's what an eagle does. Amen. Praise God. And then sometimes you got to know your kids. Sometimes they're easily led off. They're followers. Easily led off by somebody. Easily. And you got to know that. So put them in a situation where they can succeed in life. That's the way God builds his church for his eagle. It's high above the ambitions of this world. She's got a high ambition, not to please men, but to please God. She's built high and safe. It says, oh, how that mother eagle watches that nest. Oh, his eyes on the sparrow, and I know he watches me, he watches you. She watches that nest. I wanted to take a scripture here as we just kind of go back and look at Ephesians. And it's talking about how servants need to just be subject, you know, to their masters, not as men pleasers, but servants of Christ, doing it as unto the Lord. And I wanted to go back to a scripture because, and even as Brother Branham was talking about, even as a minister has to be, you know, you're not trying to please men when you're preaching the gospel. You want to please God. That's your ultimate goal. You want to please God. So you want to say what God has actually told you to say, not just come up saying whatever you want to say. You want to make sure it's God giving you that to say, because you're held accountable for what you say to God's people. There's a statement that the prophet made, more important than the blood of Jesus Christ is those that have been purchased by his blood. So when we're standing before the purchased of the blood, we need to be very, very careful as to how we present ourselves. As a men pleaser, I want to take a scripture, a Old Testament scripture I want to read to you tonight. This man got into a situation when God told him to do one particular thing, but he did something else because he was a pleaser of man rather than a pleaser of God. And by pleasing man, he actually ended up losing his life. So it's very important that we, everything we do, let it be, the song say, Lord, let it be pleasing unto thee. Everything you do, let it be pleasing unto God. 1 Corinthians 13. I'm sorry, 1 Kings 13. It's actually one of, I remember the very first time I read this, and I just saw myself all in this scripture. Certain situation that happened in my life, and I said, Lord, this was me. And I learned, you know, from this situation that, you know what, everything I do now has got to be based on God telling me to do it. Amen. If God don't speak to me, if I don't get that unction in my spirit that, okay, this is the right way to go, I can't go. I got to wait till I'm clear and clean in my spirit. But here, this man, 1 Kings 13, says, and behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel, and Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. And he cried against the altar in the word of the Lord and said, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name, and upon thee shall he offer the priests of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burnt upon thee. And they gave a sign the same day, saying, this is the sign which the Lord has spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes that are upon it shall be poured out. And it came to pass when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God. And when they heard that, thus saith the Lord, they knew they were in trouble. It says, when he heard the saying of the man of God, which had cried against the altar in Bethel, that he put forth his hand from the altar, saying, lay hold on him. And his hand which he put forth against him dried up, so that he could not pull it in again to him. Now you talk about somebody being anointed. Can you imagine this? You go, you speak, thus saith the Lord, and he's saying this in a situation where they have this altar that they shouldn't have it. They shouldn't have this. They should be going to Jerusalem to do worship. But here, Jeroboam has built this altar and caused the people to kind of come here, and they got in trouble with God for this. But when the thus saith the Lord goes forth by the prophet, the king gets upset. He reaches to grab the man, say, lay hold on him. And when the king puts his hand out, he can't pull it back. His hand begins to wither. Can you imagine that type of anointing being on somebody? The devil reach out to touch him, hands start withering. God, I tell you what, when you're standing for God, he'll stand for you. Amen. Look at this now. It says, it dried up so that he could not pull it in again to him. The altar also was rent, and the ashes poured out from the altar according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. And the king answered and said, unto the man of God, entreat now the face of the Lord thy God, and pray for me, that my hand may be restored me again. The king asking for prayer. And the man of God besought the Lord, and the king's hand was restored him again, and became as it was before. So here this man has been healed by God, even after his great sin of having these people worshiping idol gods. God has still healed this man. Anybody that might be seeking the Lord for healing, we ought to take confidence and courage. Like, if God can do this for a man that's not really even serving him, what about me? Amen. Look at this. Verse 7 says, and the king said unto the man of God, come home with me. Refresh thyself, and I will give thee a reward. Now, let's put it this way. His prophesying was not to go there to get a reward. My preaching is not to go anywhere to get a reward. I hope people don't come to the Spirit and Truth to preach to get a reward. But that is not what we do things for, to get a reward. Amen. Look, it says, and the man of God said unto the king, if thou will give me half thine house, I will not go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water in this place. For so was it charged me by the word of the Lord, saying, eat no bread, nor drink water, nor turn again by the same way that thou camest. So he went another way and returned not by the way that he came to Bethel. So here God told him, don't eat, don't fellowship, don't do nothing. You go in there and prophesy, and you get on out of there. That was his job. Let's see what happens. Anointed by God. So anointed that the king went to touch him after he prophesied, and then the man's hand begins to dry up. But look at what happens to this man. Now there dwelt an old prophet in Bethel. And his sons came and told him all the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel, the words which he had spoken unto the king. Them they told also to their father. And their father said unto them, what way went he? For his sons had seen the way that the man of God went, which came from Judah. And he said unto his son, saddle me the ass. So they saddled him the ass, and he rode thereon. Went after the man of God, found him sitting under an oak, and he said unto him, art thou the man of God that camest from Judah? And he said, I am. Then he said unto him, come home with me and eat bread. And he said, I may not return with thee, nor go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water with thee in this place. For it was said to me by the word of the Lord, thou shalt eat no bread nor drink water there, nor turn again to go by thy way that thou camest. Now look at this. The old prophet. And this is what I want to tell you. When we're not being, you got to always please God, not please man. Now, I'm not saying not respect, men in their offices and in their places. But you have to please God, not man. What happens in this story, as we keep reading, this man, he done told the king, I can't go home with you. God told me, I don't care if you gave me half of whatever you had, I can't have no fellowship, I got to leave this place. Now, he's also told the prophet the exact same thing. And I'm saying this because, sometimes, oh Lord Jesus, spiritual people can get you in a lot of trouble. Spiritual people. I used to, coming up in church, I remember, what verse am I on? 18, okay. I remember there are people that wouldn't even do things unless a certain sister said something to them for them to do it. Mm-hmm. Or they wouldn't do things unless a certain brother told them something. And they had all their confidence in this brother or in this sister rather than having their confidence in the word of God. or in the fact that God said those that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You're not led by what some brother say, by what some sister say. Spiritual people that say they always hear from God. I'm here to tell you. I remember Brother Boyd told me this years ago. He said, God don't talk as much as people say he talk. I'm here to tell you, God don't talk that much. But sometimes spiritual people, they want to be able to control you. They want to be able to manipulate you. Right? So they come up with all these spiritual things, and because you don't know nothing about it, you feel intimidated. But no, you ain't got to be intimidated. When you know the Word of God, you just keep standing on the Word of God. If you only know one scripture, just stay with that one scripture. But don't let spiritual people get you mixed up. You know, Brother Branham, when he went over there to Africa, trying to please men rather than please God. I mean, he got over there and they said, no, we want to go here, we want to go. And you ain't the only one God speak to. He said, God told me to go over here. And he said, I tell you what, y'all cross this line, I'm guaranteed we're going to be out the will of God. And none of the meetings that y'all have planned, none of them will work out. When they crossed that line, nothing worked out. All of them came back sick. Brother Branham was off the field for 9 months because he was following men. No. I ain't following men. Following God. I mean, Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. You want to make sure that it's Christ in the forefront. Amen. Not just somebody out there by themselves. Amen. But spiritual people can get you in a world of trouble. Watch this man, that how he got in trouble. He was a prophet. He had heard directly from God. He saw the power of God even come on the scene and dry up that king's hand. And it was through his prayer that the man's hand got restored. Takes off, following in obedience, and now he has one conversation with a spiritual man. Look at how this spiritual man pulled him off the word. Let's keep reading. Verse 18. Verse 17. Let's go back there just to make sure we're following on. For it was said to me by the word of the Lord, thou shalt eat no bread nor drink water there, nor turn again to go by the way that thou camest. He said unto him, I am a prophet also as thou art. And an angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But look at the scripture. But he lied unto him. This was look at this trial here. He lied unto him. Let's just keep going. A prophet lied to another prophet. You got to have discernment. Not only discernment, but you got to know that you're hearing from God yourself. Brother Branham, he just repeated what the angel said. The angel told us that those in the bride will only do his will. No one can make them do otherwise. Oh, my goodness. Can't please men, we got to please God. No one can make them do otherwise. Look at this, verse 18. 19, so he went back with him and did eat bread in his house and drink water. And it came to pass as they sat at the table, oh Lord, that the word of the Lord came unto the prophet that brought him back. The lying prophet now hears from God. And he cried unto the man of God that came from Judah, saying, thus saith the Lord, For as much as thou hast disobeyed the mouth of the Lord, and hast not kept the commandment which the Lord thy God commanded thee. His commandment was don't go home to eat with nobody, don't drink with no, don't do nothing, just leave, don't even go out the same way you came. He disobeyed God. Look at what, and now sitting in this man's house, you done invited me to your house to eat, and then you're going to prophesy against me when I get here? That's why you better know you're hearing from God. Amen. But Cain is back. See, this is not to be men pleasers. This is not, you know, we don't do this for men's service. We want to know that we're doing things because God has told us to do it. Everything we do is as unto the Lord. But Cain is back. And has eaten bread and drunk water in the place of the which the Lord did say to thee, eat no bread and drink no water, thy carcass shall not come unto the sepulchre of thy fathers. And it came to pass after he had eaten bread and after he had drunk that he saddled for him the ass, to wit, for the prophet whom he had brought back. And when he was gone, I'm talking about as soon as he left the house, a lion met him. He didn't know that he was going to be dying instantly. But this is what happened. A lion met him by the way and slew him. And his carcass was cast in the way. And the ass stood by it. The lion also stood by the carcass. And behold, men passed by and saw the carcass cast in the way. And the lion standing by the carcass. And they came and told it in the city where the old prophet dwelt. When the prophet that brought him back from the way heard thereof, he said, it is the man of God who was disobedient unto the word of the Lord. Now this is amazing to me. In a few verses, the man was fully obedient. And he allowed one spiritual person to get him off the word. And now he's walking in disobedience. And we do this to please men, not to please God. We don't want to be found as men pleasers. Oh my. Let me just keep reading. And the prophet that brought him back from the way heard thereof, he said, it is the man of God who is disobedient to the word of the Lord. Therefore the Lord have delivered him unto the lion, which have torn him and slain him according to the word of the Lord, which he spake unto him. And he spake to his sons, saying, saddle me the ass, and he saddled him. And he went and found his carcass cast in the way, and the ass and the lion standing by the carcass. The lion had not eaten the carcass, nor torn the ass. And the prophet took up the carcass of the man of God, and laid it upon the ass, and brought it back. And the old prophet came to the city to mourn and to bury him. And he laid his carcass in his own grave, and he mourned over him, saying, alas, my brother. It came to pass after he had buried him, that he spake to his son, saying, when I am dead, then bury me in the sepulchre wherein the man of God is buried. Lay my bones beside his bones. For the saying which he cried by the word of the Lord against the altar in Bethel, and against all the houses of the high places which are in the cities of Samaria, shall surely come to pass. I learned when I read that for the very first time, make sure that you're following what God has told you to do. Make sure you're not doing it in order to please men. Make sure you're doing it to please God. Sometimes it's going to go against popular opinion. Oh, Lord, have mercy, Jesus. I mean, there's so many different angles that I can go in. I know some of you all that had to even make a decision to make Spirit and Truth your church home. Just some of the struggles that people went through. And but you had to know that you was doing this because God told you to do it. I'm not doing this to please no man, right? I remember when we first started out, people say, oh, it's just a family church. That's all it is. And you know, you hear that, and they don't realize that actually the church started off that way, right? When the children of Israel, just that name, children of Israel, they were all one family. 12 sons, and they used to gather in a tent and have church, right? So it was a family church. And but people say these things in order to bring criticisms, and sometimes you have to live above a lot of that, right? We're not doing this to please men. We're doing this to please God. We're doing this to please God. Be careful. Don't let yourself get caught up, amen, with some spiritual person that they lead you astray from the word. Amen. And I've seen that, you know, in my years that, you know, you just gotta be so careful. And even Brother Branham told us, he forewarned us, he said, you know, we'll be one nice little group. Really, really good group, man. My God. So either he'll anoint somebody in the group with a bad spirit, or he'll send somebody in with a bad spirit. How can you tell they got a bad spirit? They start criticizing everything. As soon as you start hearing that criticizing, you already know something wrong somewhere. And I'm gonna tell you another thing. If a person can't follow, ain't no way they can lead. Because a good leader can always be a good follower. Those are easy things to be able to look at. How do they follow? How do they follow? Praise the Lord. I learned. After reading that, I said, I learned. I'm going to stay with what God tells me. And if God don't tell me, then that's fine. And I also knew that according to what the angel of the Lord told the prophet, the word is in the bride. She got the mind of Christ to know what he want done with the word. And so he say, they have thus said the Lord, and no one will make them do anything otherwise. Praise God. You got to know where you stand in this hour. I'm not here to please men. We're here to please God. Let's pray. Father, we are grateful for the word. It's refreshing to be able to go back and look at these little things in scripture. God, it just helps us as we journey from day to day. Spirits don't die. They just anoint different people. But Lord, the word still remains the same. And let us take our example, Father, from what we see in the word. We want to be led by the Spirit of God in doing the things that are pleasing to the Spirit. It might not please men, but will please you. And that's all that matters. We want to hear you say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of the Lord. That's what we long for. So I pray, Lord, that the word would settle in our inner man. That we would take, Lord, what we've heard and put it in action. And Father, may the life that we live be a life that is pleasing unto thee. So in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So announcements is Sunday morning. We'll have a prayer from 9 to 10. Service will be at 10:30 a.m. And our streaming will be Twitter, Facebook, and also our church website, john423.org. And don't forget, this Friday night we'll be doing our annual business meeting. We will start 30 minutes earlier on Friday. We'll be here 7 p.m. we'll start. That gives us more than enough time to kind of get through all the information that we have. So I want to ask everyone, please come early, 7 p.m. We will get started with our business meeting. And this is strictly for the church. This won't be streamed. It won't be, you know, recorded. It'll just be, you know, for the church, those that'll be present. So keep that in mind. Our giving is through Cash App, Zelle, PayPal, as well as we have a mailing address there at the bottom of the screen that those online can use. But Cash App is $SpiritandTruthT. Zelle and PayPal is the same email address of giving at john423.org. Amen. Those that are inside the sanctuary, we do have a box on the back table. If you'd like to give there, you can. You can put it in the box on the back of the table. Amen. Before we would leave tonight, do we have anyone that wants to give testimony or a prayer request that you'd like to share? Okay, I got a couple here. Brother Garen, yeah.
God bless.
Bless you.
I just want to give thanks to God for his continued favor. Probably about a week ago, another position opened up at my location because our AGM decided to pursue another avenue. Now, before he decided it, when I originally started, you know, I don't ever try to step on nobody's toes. I always respect the position, whether how good or how bad they're doing, I just respect their position. But he decided to leave, and the position came available, so my general manager was like, you should apply for it. I'm like, why? I'm already a manager, I don't need his. And she was like, well, you out here most of the time, you should do it. I need somebody strong. He wasn't strong. I was like, well, let me pray about it first. I was like, I don't know if I'm ready to be switching positions because, you know, more responsibility. So I was like, I pray about it. So the following week, you know, all of a sudden I was like, you know what? I feel like I should do it. So I applied for it. I applied for it on a Monday, and now the interview wasn't until a Friday, but then all of a sudden on Thursday, the day before the interview, Monday they posted it to where everybody could apply. So the day before the interview, somebody all of a sudden applied for it. So my general manager asked me, was like, do you know this person? I'm like, no. They were like, well, they come from America's Best and they got as much manager experience as you. I'm like, okay, that's fine. I was like, what God has for me is for me. If it's not meant for me, I won't have it. I'm fine. I'm already a manager. I don't care who applied for it. So I kept it in God's hands, and the day of the interview, I'm like, what happened to the other person? Oh, he was disqualified. He was non-rehirable. I was like, oh. So to cut a long story short, I pretty much did the interview, aced it. Now I'm the new AGM. But not only that, while I was as I was interviewing for it, I knew my position would become available. So the guy that was in the lab, he's been there, 8 months? And he's had 3 different managers. So he was like, he told me straight, he said, I don't want to work for another manager. I was like, all right. So during my interview, I pretty much talked to the people that were interviewing me. I'm like, hey, why don't y'all interview my tech? I think he'll be perfect candidate for the lab manager position. They're like, well, he ain't been here long enough. We usually like people to be with the company 2 years before we even consider them for lab manager. I said, well, how about y'all let him interview for it and then y'all make a decision or have him at least interview before the area manager of all the labs and see what he thinks. So they agreed. They were like, all right, before we post the lab manager position, since you're moving, we'll let him interview. So he interviewed and he aced it, so pretty much he's a lab manager now. So not only have I moved up, I also helped him move up because it's just who I am.
Praise the Lord. Thank God. That's wonderful. Thanks, Sister Virginia had her hand. Yeah. Amen.
God bless. Just want to thank God for traveling mercies over the weekend, a wonderful weekend and some real cold weather, and some real bad, you know, snow and stuff like that. But I thank God for his grace and mercy. Also, to keep the foster family in prayer and the loss of their second son. And they also have a granddaughter that's been in a coma for 5 years that's pretty grave condition. She's 25. Her name is Brittany. I think she's on a ventilator now, so if you all would keep her in prayer.
Okay.
And also I have before the Lord also a promotion, and I just thank God for the teaching that's been coming across, that, you know, God promote who he will and put mm-hmm. down who he will. But if it's his will, I would like a promotion.
Amen.
So keep me in your prayer. I have a couple applications out for financial analysts. One is going back to the department where I used to work at the same pay. I like the job, but I'd like more money.
Amen. So,
and then there's another one that would be a promotion and pay.
All right.
So just help me as I pray and seek the will of the Lord.
Amen. Amen. We shall. I like when you put it out there in the atmosphere that this is what I want. So God is able to do that. Yes.
God bless. When I was coming to church tonight, I got there to community and military trail. I could see flashing light from the distance. And it was a major accident there. I don't know what I had to end up going a different direction. But there were at least 3 emergency vehicles and all kinds of cops. So if we can just pray for whoever was involved in that accident.
Okay.
It's pretty serious.
All right. We sure will. Praise the Lord. In the back there, our brother Jerry.
God bless you all.
Bless you.
I have a prayer request and a praise report. Just ask for prayer for my father. He has a operation coming up on the 31st. It's a total knee replacement surgery. He's put it up for a few years, but it's really urgent. So just ask that God would just lead the doctors for that surgery on the 31st. Okay. It'd be next Wednesday. Mm-hmm. All and right. I just want to thank the Lord for his faithfulness at my job. I have a career advancement opportunity. God has blessed me with a manager that has gone out of his way to see that he gives me this position. And not only that, but also just the financial pay as well. With the pay, it's about a 37% increase. And it's just something that I had no control over, but it's really the favor of God. Mm. So just want to thank God for that.
Amen. Praise the Lord. We have right here, Sister Abby. Amen. Amen.
Hi. I just wanted to tell you guys that we were at the show last week. And we had gotten a lot better. And Linda got a 5th place. Mm. She did get kicked out of a championship, but she got 5th place. And I had gotten 2nd and a 5th place and 4th in both championships. So
oh, wow.
Our horse is doing really good.
All right. Awesome. Praise the Lord. Amen. All right, Sister Virginia, yeah.
Just one more thing. The position, I need flexible hours so I can come back to the pantry. So whatever position I get, y'all pray that they be flexible and let me come back to the pantry.
Amen. All right. Well, we have to be specific. We'll certainly take these requests to the Lord. Anybody else before we pray? All right. All right, let's just bow our heads. Father, we are grateful for what we hear you doing in our midst. We thank you, Lord, for the blessings. I just reminded of the quote that was read at the beginning of the year and how we just pray that you bless financially, spiritually, materially, Lord, emotionally, Father, whatever it is that the people would need, we pray your blessings would be over them and that this would be the most successful and blessful year that they would have. And already coming out of the gate, we see different ones that have received pay increases, promotions. You have exceeded expectations. It's very... it doesn't happen often that somebody gets over 30% in an increase. That's a miracle, God. So we know that you are watching out over every one of our needs. You're opening up the windows of heaven. You're pouring out blessings where we have room not enough to receive. And we thank you for what you are doing in our midst. Father, our sister Virginia is requesting prayer because she has two opportunities. And Lord, with us hearing how you have blessed others with promotions as well as with increases in pay, we ask for the same for her. Lord, whether she went back to the department that she used to be in, but Lord, let it be an increase in pay, and flexible hours, or if the other job is for her, let that be the increase in pay and flexible hours. May she know, Lord, your will just by seeing both of those things align in her request. So, Father, we just ask that you would direct her even at this time. Also want to pray for the Foster family. God, you see all that they're going through. We trust that you would just strengthen them and help them, Father. I believe in loss as well as a daughter that is going through in a coma. We can only imagine if that was us, Lord, in that situation. So we pray that you would intervene, that you would move on the scene for this family. Also, God, Sister Burr's avoided an accident. We thank you that you kept her over the highways. But Lord, there's some people that are in a different space tonight, and we're praying, God, that you would touch them, that you would help them, help these families that are enduring this trial. And God, may somehow you bring glory and honor to yourself through the midst of it. We thank you for just blessing the girls, allowing them, keeping them safe on their horses and letting them do well in their tournament. And just pray, God, to just continue to watch over them as they stand there with a testimony of young ladies, Lord, that would ride the horses and be Christians in the midst of it. So, Lord, we thank you for that. We ask your blessings upon the saints as they were prepared to leave this place tonight. Bless our going out as you have blessed our coming in. And may you, Father, just continue to get all the glory and all the honor from all that we do. How we appreciate you and we love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Also wanted to make mention that we thank the Lord for Brother Caleb being with us tonight. He's a good friend of Brother Mark's there from Michigan. And he's first time in Florida. Got a chance to see what a Florida winter is all about. Amen. God bless you, Brother Caleb. The brothers will come at this time to dismiss you. God bless you.